The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then verse 5 is really the key verse here. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so in our lesson one was entitled, We All Have an Enemy. That we do have an enemy of our soul. He hates us. He hates the church. He hates everything about truth. And there is an enemy. And Jesus himself said that the thief has come, except he has not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is his goal. And of course, Jesus' goal is to give us life and life more abundantly. And so we talked about that in lesson one. Lesson two, we talked about taking back your table. We've got to take back your table. Don't let the enemy have a seat there. Lesson three was last week, a table in conflict. He is a present help in the time of trouble. And today I want in lesson four to speak to us, and the title is Mind If I Sit Down? Mind If I Sit Down? And so 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And then 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so the title of this lesson or this section of this series is Mind If I Sit Down. And so the author in our book, he tells a story. Of course, he is a writer, he is a speaker, he is a pastor, and so he travels a lot. And he tells a story of he and his wife. They made reservations and went to a very nice restaurant. It was her birthday, and so they were celebrating her birthday. And a young man kind of was staring at them, and he got up the courage to come over and to talk to Louis Giglio and his wife. And he said, you know, I've read your books, I've heard you, I've followed you, and I'm just so glad to meet you. And of course, you know, they were friendly, and then he walks off and actually leaves the restaurant. And so Louis Giglio and his wife, they go back to their normal conversation, enjoying their dinner and celebrating her birthday. And it wasn't long until he looked up and he saw this young man again come back in the door and make his way toward him. And, you know, you make a special arrangement, reservation, dinner for two, you know, you kind of want to keep it that way, right? And so... This young man just awkwardly started coming toward them again, and Louis Giglio said, well, I started looking on the table. Maybe he left his phone or he left his wallet or something, you know. But the next thing you know, he's standing there, and he has his hands on the back of a seat that is at their table. And he asked the question, mind if I sit down? And it was not one of those questions where you wait for the answer, but he was already pulling out the seat and sitting down. And you know, they were polite, and they kind of went through their meal, even though he did express to the young man, hey, you know, maybe we can talk more later. This is my wife's birthday. But sometimes people, and really all of us, sometimes we're oblivious, you know. And so apparently this young man was not very perceptive, and so he's set there. But the author used this as an example, because sometimes the enemy will just come back. And it makes a statement: in less time than it takes to snap your fingers, if you're not careful, the enemy will pull up a seat at your table. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that my enemy that fights me, the enemy of my soul, he does not give up easy. You know, he's very good at what he does. And really, he's relentless in the pursuit of our destruction. And I've noticed in my own life, there are times that I have won the battle for the moment. There's times that I've thought I've overcome my emotions, I've overcome my anxiety about something, I've overcome the thoughts about a certain situation, and I am going about my life, and maybe that lasts for, you know, an hour, two, a day, 2 days, whatever it is. And then I have noticed that there's many times that I have to refight the same battle that I've already fought. And we're human. And so we have rises and falls in our emotion. We have times of strength. We could, you know, as I always say, we could charge hell with a water pistol, you know. We could just beat anybody. We're strong. We come out of Sunday service and the Holy Ghost has been moving, and we get touched by the Spirit, and we're just ready. And then Monday morning rolls around and you're like, what in the world? And all the victory you felt yesterday has waned, and we have to fight this battle, and it's a battle with the Spirit. Our adversary is not flesh and blood, but it is with Spirit. Amen. And really, the flesh that we battle is our own. Amen. And the Spirit uses that against us. And, you know, one of the passages of Scripture that really gets so real to us is where Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. I always refer to this as Paul's Dr. Seuss moment, because it kind of reads like a Dr. Seuss poem. It kind of goes back and forth. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Our enemy is ever present. He is always battling against us. He said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." There is a battle going on. And my flesh is a part of that battle, and the enemy of my soul uses my own nature against me. Amen. When I would to do good, I do it not. When I would be this, I'm that. When I want to be what God has called me to be, then I'm struggling. Right? I would eat green eggs and ham or something, you know, back and forth. Oh, the places we'll go, you know. All those great Dr. Seuss books. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just when you think you can relax, the enemy comes again. And that's really why Paul, not only did he write this in Romans, but he wrote another place with, I die daily. Amen. Daily. And I think that we've got to remember that not giving the enemy a seat at our table is not just a one-time refusal. You can't just say, hey, you can't sit there. Hey, this is for me and my Savior. This is me and my good shepherd, as we talked about him last week. This is just for me and God. He prepared this table for us. You cannot sit there. And at first, you know, you submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But at the same time, we've got to remember that you've got to be diligent. You got to be vigilant. You've got to be on guard, because your mind and your emotions will come against you if you're not careful. Hallelujah. It will leave you vulnerable. Amen. Because when we are hurt deeply, and when we feel betrayed, and we feel like we have been wounded in our spirit, those wounds will begin to heal. But at times they will reopen, and our enemy will use those against us. And remember, part of our text today was, we are not ignorant of his devices. And so this is just a warning so that we can understand. Sometimes if you kind of know what's going to happen, then you know how to deal with it a little bit better. Because many times we feel victorious, like, oh yeah, we did it. I sent him away from my table. He can't sit here. He's going to leave me alone now. But it won't be long until he comes back through the door and begins to make his way to your table. And if you're not careful, if you're not vigilant, and if you let down your guard for very long, he will grab the back of that seat, pull it out, and he will take a seat at your table before you know it. And he'll begin to whisper things in your ear to separate you from your help. He will begin to speak things to your life that will separate you from the will of God. He is very subtle. The Bible says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you can't sit at my table. I'm paraphrasing. That's what she was. So she gave the right answer the first time. She won the battle the first time, because the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, here he comes back, grabs the back of the seat, pulls it out, and takes a seat. And he says, ye shall not surely die. Just one little word, three little letters. He turned the truth into a lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so we see this. Eve encountered the serpent's attack with the word of God. She won that battle for a moment, but yet the serpent spoke again. And in our lives, if we're not careful, we will win a momentary victory, a temporary result. And in a time of weakness, we will allow the enemy to come back to our table and sit down again. And so every day, in fact, sometimes multiple times a day, we've got to be diligent and vigilant not to allow the enemy, because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to separate you from the voice of truth. He wants to separate you from the good shepherd that is trying to give you good things and bring to you victory and peace and provision and goodness and mercy. But the enemy of our soul, he hates us. And if you're not careful, he will sit down again. He will come back to your table, and now he will sit and he will validate your feelings, and he will begin to commiserate with your own hurt and your own wounds and your own attacks that have been perpetrated on you. And he will begin to speak to you. And before long, he will have a foothold and an influence in your life. Amen. Because when I would to do good, evil is present with me. Amen. When I want to do what's right, there's always this battle going on, not only in my flesh, but the enemy uses the tendencies of my flesh. You know, I've never been a big hunter, but I've heard hunters talk, you know. I don't want to go out in the field in the cold and wait for something to come by that I could go spend the same amount of money and get some real steak, you know. I mean, come on now. I've eaten venison. It's okay. It's okay. But you know what? I've never eaten venison that was as good as a steak. I mean, you know, to each his own. If you like venison better than steak, God bless you. But every time I talk to somebody that eats venison, they always say something like this: well, you got to know how to cook it. You got to know what to do with it to make it not taste bad. You know what? I just slap a steak on the grill and it tastes good every time. Every time. I don't have to do anything to it. You know, just throw it up there. Just, you know, so you know, they spend, I don't know how much money. And I like guns, you know, so I'm liable to buy me a gun or two. But, and if you're a deer hunter, God bless you. I'm glad you enjoy that. But, you know, I'd rather take the $1,000, $2,000. I don't know how much you're spending. And buy a side of beef, you know. I mean, amen. Come on now, so much easier. So much easier. I don't even know what point I was trying to make. Oh, now I remember now. But I've been around enough hunters to know that they study it, right? They figure out the trails that the deer like to walk on. They know the fields where they can find the quail or the dove. They know the patterns. They study it. And that's the way the enemy is with us. Amen. He studies us. He's not omnipresent. Amen. He is not omniscient. He's not everywhere all the time. He doesn't know everything. He does not know the thoughts and intents of our heart like God does, but he does watch us. Amen. And he knows our tendencies. And he's not all powerful, but he's been around a long time. Amen. And you know, we're pretty easy to figure out most of the time. And he kind of knows what kind of traps we fall into. And Amen. And we love pity parties. Boy, it got quiet when I said that. We love pity parties. You know, come on now. Amen. Sometimes we love to wallow in our own emotions. And the enemy will use that against us, and he will sit down and he will feed our own feelings. He'll validate. You know, the old cliche, birds of a feather flock together. I've noticed this, especially with the advent of social media, that bitter people will find bitter people. Amen. They like to get together and talk about why they're bitter. And And the most bitter entity in all of eternity is the devil himself, Lucifer. He's bitter. He said in himself, he said, I'm going to rise up above the throne of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. And God didn't even give him a chance. The Bible says he fell like lightning. God just kind of thumped him out of heaven. Poof. It was no battle. It was no struggle. You know, he just, you're gone. No chance. And so he is the most bitter individual there is. We're not ignorant of his devices. And misery loves company. That's another cliche for you. And so he wants us to be miserable just like he's miserable. He wants to take us to hell just like he's going to go to hell. Because hell was not made for humans. Hell was made for him. Amen. And so he wants to destroy us. And if we're not careful, we will win momentary victories. And then we will let our guard down. And we will sit down and we'll lay down on our victory. And it won't be long until the enemy comes again. We see this in the life of King David. You know, David won the battle with Goliath. What a glorious victory. You come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord and with just five smooth stones and really only need one and a slingshot. He defeated Goliath and cut his head off with his own sword. And he defeated the giant and his fame spread across Israel, ultimately being anointed king and raised to that level. He won the battle of revenge against Saul. You know, King Saul hated him because the young ladies were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000. And he saw the favor that David had, not only with the people of Israel, but his own son loved David. Jonathan was best friends with him. He saw the anointing and the power of God flowing through this man. And so he tried to kill David. And Saul tried to throw a spear at him. He chased him down. And here he was. Saul and his men were sleeping. And David snuck down and just cut a little bit off of his garment. He went back up on the hillside and he said, oh, Saul, here, I could have had your life today. But he won the battle. He didn't kill him. In fact, David was so sensitive to the Spirit. Even though Saul was so wrong, he felt convicted because he cut off his garment. Amen. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. And so David not only won the battle with Goliath, but he won the battle of revenge against Saul. He killed his 10,000s. He won so many battles, but yet he lost the battle with his own flesh. The enemy came to sit at his table. Oh, he had tried before. He had tried before. Send me a man. He had tried before. Why don't you kill Saul to take care of all your problems? Then this promise you have of being king, you'll just be king. No, he won that battle. But here, the enemy comes again. And the Bible says it's in a day when the kings went to war. But David decided to stay home. He was comfortable. Amen. He sat down at his table on the rooftop and he looked over and he saw Bathsheba. And he lusted after her. And we know the results of that story. And so he won the battle with Goliath. He won the battle with revenge against Saul. He won so many other battles, but this battle he lost. We must remain vigilant. It is so important. I can't hammer this point home enough today. Because we have all experienced it. We've all thought we were over it. I thought I was over it. But one little memory pops up. Memories are a funny thing, right? You can smell something and it'll bring a memory up. You can hear a song and all of a sudden just a flood of memories. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but all of a sudden I hear a song from the 80s and I'm like, oh. I'm back at the skating rink on a Friday night. Right? Somebody sent me a picture. We used to live in Garland, right next to Mesquite, and our church that we attended was in Mesquite. And so all of our running was over there. If you've been in that area, Galloway and that area, and Town East Mall. Anybody heard of Town East Mall? And it was a big mall, you know? Somebody sent me a picture from the year I was born, 1971. From Christmas, it was all decorated for Christmas, and it brought back so many memories. I could taste, as soon as I saw the picture, I could taste Wyatt's cafeteria, chicken fried steak, gravy, mashed potatoes, broccoli and cheese. Those yeast rolls, oh my word, I could taste them. And you know what? What's so funny is nothing tastes better than nostalgia. And I'm sure that if I went back there, it would not live up to my memories. But I'd like to try it. I'd like to try it. But it's amazing that one picture could bring up so many memories. That's where I had my first job. I was 15 years old, and I worked at Stride Rite Shoe Store selling kids' shoes. And then I moved from there, and I took a job at Naturalizer, and kids were so much easier than selling shoes to women. Sorry, ladies. Sorry. You know, walk in. No, I think I'm going to go look somewhere else. What about the 15 shoes you just tried on? I got it. Man, I'm getting myself in trouble a lot today. That's all right.
Hallelujah.
But it brought back so many memories, so many memories. And it's amazing how when you've been wounded, either on purpose or accidental. Sometimes accidents happen. Some people hurt you, didn't know they hurt you.
Amen.
Some people hurt you on purpose. But when you've been wounded, it's amazing to me, even though you think it's healed. You think it's healed, and you still feel it every now and then.
Hallelujah.
Something will trigger a memory.
Amen.
And it's like you relive that moment. And if we're not careful, we'll win the battle. And then maybe we'll win it again. And then we'll win it again. And then in a moment of weakness, we will allow that moment to come back. And that wound will reopen. And
Hallelujah.
we'll find ourselves struggling with anger, with bitterness, with doubt, with fear. And we have to just remain vigilant because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so don't give the enemy a seat at your table.
Amen.
Don't give it now. Don't give it tomorrow. Don't give it next week. Stay vigilant and heal. And every time I saw this little saying, and I've shared it, repeated it, but every time you remember, forgive again. Because it's going to come back. Because God is the only one that's powerful enough to forget.
Hallelujah.
I preach a message on Communion Sunday sometimes. I preach it several times over the years because, you know, we're supposed to remember this, do in remembrance of Him. And my title is Remembering the God Who Forgets. Because we forget on accident. We forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget. But God has the power to blot out our sins. That's what I tell people when they go down in the waters of baptism. I say, look, when I baptize you in Jesus' name, you're going to come up out of the water, and all of your sins are going to be gone. And God Himself is not going to remember.
Amen.
He's so powerful that He can delete, he can remove every memory of your sin. He can remove it from his mind. And now we can't do that. Wouldn't that be nice if we could go through and just, you know, oh, man, that hurts so bad. I'm just going to take that out. Now, memories fade, but like I said before, it won't take long. A picture, a song, a sound, a place, a smell. It's back again. It's just like you're reliving it. You're reliving it. There's certain places I go in Dallas, Fort Worth. I'll drive by an intersection that I haven't been to in a while. And always, it reminds me, oh, I remember so-and-so had surgery right there. I've only been there once, but when I go past that, I'm like, oh, that reminds me of that, or that reminds me of this. And that's the same way. That's the same way it is with our hurts, with our pains, because the enemy uses those things against us. And we've got to be vigilant. We've got to kick him out more than once.
Amen.
Amen. It's like, look, I've already won this battle, but I'm ready to fight you again. You can't have that seat. Amen. It's not for you. This is a table for two. It's me and my Savior. It's me and my shepherd. He prepared it for me. Oh, you can watch. And you can watch him provide for me, and you can watch him heal me, and you can watch him strengthen me, but you can't sit down and remind me of my hurt, of my wounds. You gotta battle it. You gotta keep on guard. Amen. So there are seven ways the enemy attacks us. We've talked about some of these in this series. Also, we talked about some of it on Wednesday night in our tried and true wisdom for a wishy-washy world in our last hating what God hates. But number one is he lies. He lies. The Bible says in John 8 and 44, you are of your father, the devil. This is Jesus talking to those Pharisees around him. And your lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so the enemy will lie to you. He will lie to you. And if you're not careful, if you allow him to sit down at your table, it won't be long until he begins to twist the truth. Just like he did with Eve and Adam in the garden. He made it sound similar to what God said. But it wasn't what God said. God said, you shall surely die. And the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. It sounded very close. Very close. And so if you're not careful, he will sit down and he will lie to you. Don't give him influence. The next thing he likes to do is he blinds the mind. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He blinds the mind. It's amazing to me that when I'm trying to help people over issues, that so many times they cannot even really see what's happening. They can't really perceive it. Even though to the outside person, it's very obvious what's going on. And we have to realize that we've got to pray. We've got to pray that we will not be deceived. We've got to pray that the eyes of our mind will be open, that the ears of our mind will be open, so that we can know what's really going on. And sometimes people will relegate their move away from the will of God, and they will even call it the will of God.
Amen.
I wish I had a dollar for each time I've heard somebody say, oh, well, Pastor, we prayed about it. Oh, well, you might have prayed about it, but you prayed that you'd get your way and not prayed for the real answer. Because if you pray for the real answer, you got to be willing to hear no. And you pray for the real answer, you got to make sure the answer lines up with the Word of God. because God will never take you away from his truth. Amen. But it's because people are blinded, and the enemy blinds the mind. He masquerades. Number three, he masquerades. What does that mean? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, for such are apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is talking about false teachers. But then it says this, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so the enemy will masquerade as something holy, as something righteous, as something right. And he will deceive you if you let him. Amen. You got to stay on guard. Hallelujah. In fact, he will even deceive. Number four, he deceives with signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is speaking of the Antichrist. And so the enemy will not only masquerade as an angel of light, but sometimes he will even allow things to happen that seem miraculous, that seem like only God could do it. And the Bible says that if we're not careful, that he will deceive even the very elect. And so you and I, we have got to constantly tie ourselves back to the Word. We've got to constantly go back to the Spirit and pray and ask the Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me allow the enemy to talk me out of this beautiful truth. Don't let me allow the enemy to talk me into revenge or talk me into hate or talk me into hurt or talk me into leaving the house of God. Amen. Because he will do it if you allow him. Amen. Number five, he tempts us to sin. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. John 13 and 2, and at supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, the devil put it in his heart. The devil beguiled Eve. He tempts us to move away from the will of God. And he will tempt you to stay angry, to stay bitter, to enact revenge on those that have hurt you. He will tempt you to tear them down with your words. Remember, we talked about our words, right? The power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. Number six, and I'm hurrying to a close this morning, he steals the word from our hearts. Jesus teaching about the sower, he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The word of God always directs us the right way. The word of God will correct us, will rebuke us, reprove us. It will instruct us, the Bible says. It will convict us. But the enemy wants to steal the word. He wants to rob us of the word, because the word is a seed, and when it really takes root in us, it will grow and bear beautiful fruit. But if we're not careful, the enemy will sneak up to our table and he will steal the good things. He will steal the fruitful things. He will steal the things of peace that God wants us to have. He will steal us away from the still water and the green grass and the peace and the contentment that comes. Number seven, Number seven, he accuses. Revelations 12 and 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Amen. So in this lesson, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Don't give it to him once. Don't give it to him when he comes back in. Don't give it to him next week when the memories come flooding back into you. So today, rest in God. Commune with him at your table. Let him lead you. But yet, stay vigilant. Stay vigilant. Just because you refuse to give the enemy a seat at your table today doesn't mean he will not show up again tomorrow. Every day. Hallelujah. I die daily. I bring my body under subjection. I cast down imaginations. I bring to the obedience of Christ every thought. Amen. Because if you're not careful, he will slip back in.
Amen.
And he'll sit down and he will begin to feed your feelings. Be careful, because the enemy sometimes shows up as a gossip.
Amen.
Sometimes the enemy has flesh on, and if you're not careful, they will talk you in to your bitterness.
Amen.
And to your hurt, and to revenge, and to vengeance, and ultimately rob you of your joy. Amen. Could we stand today? Amen. God is so good.
Amen.
His word is so rich. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity for us to know that you provide for us, that you have made a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that we would be sober, that we would be diligent, that we would be vigilant, Lord, that we would not only win the battle for the moment, but we would win it for our soul's future. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke every enemy, Lord, both spirit and flesh, that would try to pull us away from the good shepherd, pull us away from the joy of our salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for every member of this church, Lord, that we would be at peace and that we would have the provision of your word and of your spirit, that the enemy would have no influence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's praise him one more time. Hallelujah. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. God bless you. Take a little break, and we'll start worship here in about 10 minutes.